What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Bella Perron. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been excited for this one. You got quite the resume. There's a lot of stuff you've been involved with, still are involved with, so we're definitely going to cover it. So I guess just to get started, if you could just let us know what you've been up to, whether it's touring or studio work. I know you've had a release come out that we could talk about, but what have you been up to?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The past few months have been insanely busy. I'm so thankful for it. I've recently been releasing instrumental solo singles. My single Mirrors just came out a couple days ago, which I'm super stoked about. And then I've been touring recently with the Midnight Cowgirls as well and recording for them too. So it's been super, super busy. A lot of new music on the way and a lot of time spent mostly in the studio this year, which has been a blast.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. And we're definitely going to get to that. But just so people could get a little familiar with you, let's just back it up a bit to where I'm curious as to the scene that you might have came up in, whether it's geographically or wherever you found yourself playing, and like whether there was like a rock presence there. Or what was the presence like? What was really popping around where you were from?
Yeah, so I grew up in Maine, a little ways north of Portland, where there wasn't really a whole lot of a music scene, I mean, compared to most cities. But I am super thankful, like my dad owns a music shop, so I grew up in the shop surrounded by music all the time. So while there wasn't, you know, it was a big deal if a tour actually came as far north as Portland or Bangor, I was very fortunate to grow up around a lot of local musicians and definitely in the store all the time, surrounded by guitars and a lot of just classic rock records playing in the house growing up. And that's really kind of my first exposure into music and what got me into rock and playing guitar at a young age.
Right on. Yeah, I could kind of relate to that. I'm from Cincinnati and there's like nothing that comes through here. Like you just hope that there's a good show that stops here like once or twice a year for the most part.
I feel you there that it's like one rock show comes in, it's like everyone you know is in the venue.
Yeah, and it always sells out no matter what.
Exactly, yeah. But there was something though, it's like after touring, you know, for a while, it makes me very thankful to go to shows when I'm home in Maine, because it's like the level of excitement in those venues is just unmatched, because it's like people haven't really been to a show in like, you know, a bit longer, as opposed to, you know, if you have the luxury of being in, you know, New York or Nashville and there's cool artists coming through every day. There's definitely like a certain energy that at like, you know, the shows in Maine for sure.
Yeah. Do you ever find yourself around Nashville or working in Nashville ever?
Yeah, actually with the Midnight Cowgirls, we've been doing a lot of writing in Nashville, and we played at Honky Tonk Tuesdays this past August, and it was a lot of fun. A super, super cool experience playing at Eastside Bowl.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's kind of funny with Nashville, like, cause I've been going down there a lot more. That's where Ray's Rowdy's based out of. So I've been going down there more often as I've gotten older and more involved with this. And, you know, Nashville, you think of country music, I think. Anyone not from Nashville, I think they first think country music. But, man, when you get down there, like, the rock scene especially is, like, vibrant. It's pretty nuts. Oh.
Yeah, and like the most insane players all in one area. It's insane. And like the rock and metal scene down there too is always amazing. Like it's one of my things when I have a night off in Nashville, I'm always looking for shows in the area. Or like I think the last one I went to is like a cool like punk show at like Third Man Records and stuff. There's always so much going on. And that was one of the things that surprised me too, like my first few trips to Nashville, realizing there's a lot more going on here than just country music.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. And when you do, like you mentioned Midnight Cowgirls and everything, and when you do find yourself, since you first started to now, hopping into these other projects or just getting involved with other people doing these different, like your solo stuff even, like get really diving into that, how have you found yourself evolving, like not only creatively, because, you know, I feel like as an artist, that just happens, right? But as a professional, like, was it overwhelming at first when you would like start to get involved with more people and more projects? And has that gotten easier for you? Like, how did you navigate that?
Yeah, I definitely was like overwhelming in the best way of like kind of that reminder of like, it's something I could have only dreamed of, you know, 5 years ago, of being overwhelmed by the amount of opportunities coming in to work with people that I really look up to and have been a fan of. So it's definitely something, it's like embracing the learning as you go mindset, because I think going into working with new people, and especially for writing and doing more session playing and stuff, like kind of embracing the I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to learn, like no matter what happens, I'm going to learn something from this experience, and I'm probably going to learn something about myself as well and branch out creatively. So it's been a really kind of process of evolving and growing and being exposed to like playing with different players who have like a different pocket and a different feel. I feel like I've definitely expanded my horizons and learned a lot in the process.
Yeah. So like evolving creatively too, I guess, goes hand to hand with that, right?
Oh, for sure. And especially playing like with different artists, you know, like when you're catching up with friends and they're like, hey, have you heard of this record or this band? That's going on all the time, and listening to so many artists that, you know, I probably wouldn't have been huge into like maybe even a year ago. So it's really cool kind of just immersing myself in music. I feel like this second wave of just really getting into a creative flow state and branching out.
Yeah. And it was really cool for me to catch up on what you've been doing, because I remember I saw you, it was back at Rocklahoma. You were with Plush at the time. And when was that? 2021, 20 something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. That was in, like, I think like the first festival you did. Yeah. That's
yeah.
No way. Because
I went there to see, I know a guy named Austin Mead, and he played the stage that you guys were on. And I'm, yeah, I remember it was like you guys, Diamante was up there. Like I didn't want to go to the main stage. I'm like, I'm just going to stay here. These are all like killing it. Like it was cool to kind of like catch up to what you've been doing since then. And yeah, like it's very impressive. And I was wondering, and this is me showing my ignorance to, I guess, just the art of guitar, I guess. So stick with me. But, when you play like your instrumental stuff, so like your solo stuff, it's instrumental. Is that called like, is that like a genre of virtuistic or virtuoso, or is virtuoso like just an adjective, like a really, really good player? Because when I think of virtuoso guitar, I think of like instrumental stuff, which typically if you can pull off like the instrumental stuff, which you do, and like, you know, there's a million people who do, like, that's virtuoso guitar. Is that correct? Like, would you call yourself like that? That's what you play when it comes to your solo stuff?
I mean, virtuoso is like definitely an adjective of something I'm aspiring to be. We're getting there, you know, putting in the work. And a lot of like the guitar heroes I have, like that I certainly look up to and worship, are those virtuoso shred guys like Steve I and Joe Satriani. So definitely with like their just insane musicianship and technique level, it's this whole, you know, whole level of like virtuoso playing, and the instrumental realm kind of lives in there. But that's something that really resonated with me once I was, you know, have been playing for a few years. I first started listening to instrumentals and I was just blown away by the kind of ride you're taken on without a single word being said. And that's something that's kind of a thing I've always been like obsessed with, and having the chance to really dive into writing and recording my own has been a really cool learning experience.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, it takes like a different kind of person to really dive into that, I think. And I'm just a fan here. Like, I'm just like, I see these like different kinds of, you know, musical acts. You got like, you know, the cut clean, like cookie cutter guys. Not, that's not an insult. I'm just saying like the most common, like look at like AC/DC, like classic rock band. You know, you got vocalists, you got, you know, songwriting, all that stuff. And then you got the instrumental guys and gals who do it, who like, it's still writing songs, but it's like, you have to communicate through notes on a guitar. And like, how was that something you had to like really teach yourself? I know and correct me if I'm wrong, but like you had an EP from a while back. It might've been your first one that was instrumental. And has that just always been with you, like since you started playing?
It's always been a thing I did for fun, and it was kind of just became this like stash of demos I had on my laptop, and like I should do something with this at some point. But once I started getting into songwriting, I mean, it's still a thing of like lyrics just do not come to me. I'm not a vocalist. I can hack in on background vocals if you need me to, but something like I found with writing melodies on guitar, I could really express myself and express like the feelings in those songs without having to put words to it. And that's where I really gravitated towards writing instrumentals, and it became kind of one of those kind of niche ways of like just really expressing myself and almost like journaling, but I don't have the words to put to it, you know?
Yeah. And like it, I mean, that just seems like a whole nother level, like someone has to be able to communicate those melodies and like have people keep coming back to listen, or they want to go listen to the next song. Because like, you know, most people are like, you know, they want to hear lyrics. That's just like kind of how, when you expect to hear a song, it's like, all right, when's the singer coming in? And like, you know, yeah, like people like me who are just now trying to dive into that stuff. Like it is cool when you finally, like, you get hooked on a song without lyrics, you know, like it's kind of a cool thing. Like, wow, that is possible.
Exactly. And like, I'm certainly like, there's very like specific albums that when I got into it, I'm like, of course it's the playing, but there's something in like the overall vibe that I'm just like, I'm obsessed with this. And it's like, exactly what it is. It's the overall feel. Like the first time I heard like Blow by Blow by Jeff Beck, that was like, you know, it just on repeat, like for literally a few months of just, I don't know exactly what it is aside from just the vibe, but it's sick and I love it. Yeah. And that's something I try to keep in mind when I'm writing too, you know, going for that feel as opposed to showing in as many, you know, cramming in all the fast licks I can.
Yeah, like example for me, like I always loved In a Gata da Vida, like the long version, and there are words in it, but like it's only for like 3 minutes of the 17-minute song, and like you find yourself listening to the whole darn thing, and you're like, okay, so it is all about the vibes. It's all about like keeping you there. It's cool how that works.
Right, it blows my mind too, like the songs like that where it's like you check the clock and it's like, has it really been 15 minutes? And you're like hooked on the melody or the chord progression. It's just really cool when music can like have that effect on you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about how you got involved with the Midnight Cowgirls. I gave them a nice listen today. And by the way, shout out for that Beatles cover, The Night Before. That's like that's my favorite Beatles song. I'm like, okay, let's go. Yeah, so like... Yeah. Yeah, so like, just give us a little backstory on how you got with them and how that all came about.
Yeah, so I met Jenny, the bassist, when we were both working at like Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. We were counselors, and this was about almost a year ago. And we had like I don't think we had crossed paths before, but we had knew each other through Instagram, and of course I'd seen her absolutely killing it with Eagles of Death Metal for years. I looked up to her, and when we had hung out a bit then, and a little while later she had called me up and asked if I'd be interested in sitting in. It was funny, they're doing a Dolly Parton tribute show, and they had asked if they were looking for another guitarist for it to do for the bigger shows. They'll have like extra members sit in, so it's like that full country sound. And she had asked kind of if it's something I'd be interested in. I'm like, this is a genre I know nothing about, so let's do it. Like, I want to throw myself in the deep end to that point of I'm scared, but I know I'm going to grow from this. So I did the first show with them, and it was just so much fun, and especially the first day getting into the rehearsal room and everyone's in like either Ministry or Slayer t-shirts, and I'm like, oh, these are my people. We're just playing country music now.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it has that rock and like a punk edge to it that once we started playing live, I'm like, oh, this is like just this melting pot of a bunch of styles. So I kind of sat in a little bit here and there, and then they needed a guitar player for the summer tour. So they had reached out and I hopped on it. And that was right around when we recorded that Beatles cover too, which I was stoked that they did that one live once in a while. And having the chance to like add in Beatles covers into a set, I'm always jazzed about. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it is an interesting, like, it is like a cool sound, like you were saying, like it, obviously the country influence, but also there is like, it is rock, like it is like rock and roll. And I'd be curious on your thoughts about like nowadays, like the genres like are blending so much in any, like look at hip hop, rock, country music, like everything is just blending together. And, you know, you have a lot of people with like the old school, you know, mind who are like, nah, keep it separate, we don't like that. But like, I think like that's like the best thing that could happen. Like, I'm curious on your opinions on the whole thing.
Oh, for sure. I think that's, you know, how you come up with fresh ideas is if we're all taking ideas, you know, say we all want to be in one genre, and our only influences coming from that one genre, we're probably going to be coming up with the same ideas, you know? But when you're in a band or collaborating with people where someone has this background and someone loves this band, and there's all these this diverse range of artists you're all listening to, that's when you start getting these outside of the box ideas. And I think it's something exciting now is like, we see that difference in marketing where like major artists are able to do that crossover from like rock, pop to country, and or it's a melting pot. Because I think before, I mean, there was certainly, if you look at all the classic rock bands, there's still that influence from like R&B and blues and country. It's just very driven as we're a rock band. So I think if anything now, it's like that is, if anything, it's just kind of more widely accepted and celebrated, which is an exciting time. That's where you start to branch out and kind of dive into new territory too.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just fun, you know, it's not like another thing is like, and I'm not trying to ramble here, so I'll keep it short, but I feel like you could never satisfy those kinds of fans who like they want like something new. And then like you got guys like Greta Van Fleet who come out, who I love, but they got the whole, oh, it's just Led Zeppelin. It's like, well, ain't that what you want? Don't you like the old stuff? Like who wouldn't like new Led Zeppelin anyway? Like if
exactly. It's like, I think what they're doing is fantastic. So it's, yeah. If anything, I think it's exciting seeing so many artists embrace their own sound and their own exploring their creativity instead of thinking I need to always stay in one lane and do this one thing, which is cool to see so many artists kind of doing that shift, which it's, yeah, definitely a cool thing to do. And being a part of the Cowgirls, it's exciting writing with them for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also wanted to ask you about, because I'm a massive Stray Cats fan, and I saw that you worked with Slim Jim. So yes. Please just tell me how that all came about, because I was like, no way, how'd I miss this?
Oh my gosh, it's an absolute honor. Just first off, him and Jenny, just the kindest people, and have gone so out of their way to just really taking me under their wing when I started playing with them as a trio. That was actually when Jenny had reached out about the Dolly show. The other gig was playing with her, her and Jim. And at first that was another one of like, how am I going to play this stuff live? I'm like, of course I love the Stray Cats. And as a guitar player, like, how can you not be just absolutely floored by those records? And so when I they had offered for me to sit in for a couple songs, with his trio, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. And like, just to get the gist of Rock This Town, the amount of hours into practicing, and I learned so much and grew so much. And they were just, gosh, playing with them is so fun, where just, I mean, his pocket alone and his swing, and then getting to communicate and trading fours, and everyone's like improvising. It's such an exciting show where you're really winging it and like thinking on my toes the whole time. It's yeah, it's one of those moments where you're playing live and it's like, how is this happening right now? Especially they're super kind to invite me when they were playing at the Opry for the Duane Eddy tribute show, and just during playing I'm like, there's no way this is real right now, this is insane.
Yeah, I mean, and the showmanship, you want to talk about the live show, like the showmanship of him alone, like
incredible.
He stands up, jumps around playing the drums. Like, what's better than that?
Right? It like still does not miss a beat. It blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy. And while we're on the topic, I feel like, and you're the guitar player here, so correct me if I'm wrong, but like rockabilly is like an insanely underrated genre when it comes to guitar playing, right?
Yeah, and something in the past year or so from learning the material for those gigs that I've immersed myself in, because it's the funniest thing going from like learning Stray Cat songs and then I go back into playing metal. I'm like, oh, my right hand got better from
doing bet just the chunka 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 chunka
chunka. Exactly. And then it's like, oh, now I can do like the alternate picking better than before, which is kind of one of those funny crossovers I was not expecting. But gosh, I learned so much as a player too. It's just soloing over the changes and like all of the crazy chord inversions that are getting thrown in, but the tempo's so fast that it's just flying by. It's definitely an exciting genre that I've had a blast really diving into and learning about.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess we might, let's talk about your single that just came out. I mean, that was just last week. That was what, Saturday?
Yeah, it came out on Saturday.
Yeah, let's talk about it. It's called Mirrors. Fantastic. it's one of those songs I was using to, like I said before, get into the instrumental side of guitar. So I guess just first off, like, was there any themes or any like story kind of you wanted to get across when you were writing this song, like at all? And how, because I usually ask that question and like there's words involved. So I'm very curious. I'm very curious to wonder like how you made that happen with just the instrumental.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny where it's kind of like a gut feeling at first, and then I start recording the demo and it's like, oh yeah, I guess that's what it's about, you know. It really was about kind of that Enlightened too. My other single is embracing like that excitement I felt when I was first learning guitar, and like the excitement I would feel my first shows and just the rush you get. And how, you know, it's almost kind of like celebrating the instrument and that passion you have for it, where it can be so easy to kind of get wrapped up into like the day-to-day stress or like, what am I doing with my career? And it's like, let's put all of that to the side and think about how much you love playing and how that's what you do. And that's just kind of the guiding light in all of that. And so Mirrors, it was definitely a reflection. I guess that's where the title came from. That was like the last part of the equation. It's like, what do I call this? But yeah, a reflection of like, you know, really getting in touch with playing again and making that like the number one thought on my mind again, and like the most time spent of my day, really just thinking of like, okay, what makes you really happy? And, you know, that's playing guitar. So that's really what Mirrors is about.
Yeah. And I guess like you have to like when it comes to like, I keep saying the instrumental, but like really like it is so different. For me, it's just like a new thing, but like it really has to be just based on like emotion and mood, because you have to like rely on that, I guess, to get the point across you're trying to make instead of just writing words down. Like, is that true?
Oh, for sure. And it's definitely where it comes as like an outlet of like, even if I can't really put my finger on exactly what I'm feeling, but I can pick up my guitar and I have some sort of riff in mind, and it's like, yeah, that's capturing like, you know, the excitement or like the rush I'm feeling. And it's kind of funny of like, that's what really attracted me to listening to instrumentals, is like, I'm hearing this vibe, but I could be interpreting this totally different from the next person, or totally differently from the artist as well. And I think it's, when you don't have the words, you know, there, it kind of starts to take on this like broader meaning that can be really personal. Yeah. Listener,
yeah, it's literally like a mood. It's funny how that works, like with the brain chemistry. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it works. So we're pretty happy with the reception and everything. I loved it.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm absolutely blown away. I mean, between Mirrors and Enlighten, like branching out and releasing, you know, solo stuff in general, but then solo stuff as instrumentals, it was definitely something I was intimidated by for a while, of like, you know, not knowing like, is it kind of the classic, is it done yet? I can keep adding to this, or I can have it mixed again, or I should do a different video edit. And it's like learning to take this like seat back and be like, okay, I think it's ready. We'll put it out there. And I was thinking, you know, if no one even sees it, I did it for me as one of those, check it off the list. I put out, well, like, you know, one of those songs that I've been passionate about for a long time, finally getting it out there. And then to have the response of the amount of people that have reached out saying that they're listening to it or enjoyed the video, or seeing, I saw some covers on YouTube of Enlightened.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely surreal. It definitely kind of hits different. Like, it's just seeing that people are enjoying it and that it can spread some of like that positivity I was feeling in recording those songs.
Yeah. And you kind of talked about it there. And I just thought about, when I asked other artists this, because it's another thing that's crazy to me, is was there a point in your career so far when you do write, was there a point where you had to really be like, I'm writing this for me, and like I'm blocking out, yes, it goes to listeners, but I have to block out the pressure of that, I guess, and like it's at the end of the day, it's mine. Like, has that ever been a thought that crosses your mind?
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because that's really what these past two singles were. And I think why I dragged my feet so much on like finishing them, or like, you know, should I tweak it more so it sounds like so-and-so, or tweak it so, you know, it's, you know, less of this vibe and more of this. And it was really kind of getting in touch with like, okay, what are all of like my favorite guitar players and guitar albums that especially growing up, like, just had me floored. Like, can I capture some of that vibe and that attitude? And whether it resonates with people or cool, like, if it's incredible if it does, and I'm absolutely humbled if it does. But if I think it's cool, then I'm like, all right, this is a great starting point for, you know, getting getting the ball rolling with doing instrumentals. And so it was definitely kind of one of those crazy pinch me moments of like putting out something where I did have the blinders on, where for at first I wasn't planning on even putting it out. It was just going to be like sending it to friends, like, hey, this is what I've been doing, you know. So seeing that people like enjoy it has been really, really special. And I'm just very thankful for the response that it's gotten.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Here's a broad question, but have you had an oh shit moment so far, whether it's in recent time or your career? Like, has there been a moment like on stage, in the studio, anything to where you're like, wow, I'm actually doing this. This is like, I'm doing what I've always wanted to do kind of thing. Is there any moment like on the top of your head? I'm sure you have a million of them, but that you could think of to where you had that feeling.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, anytime I'm on stage, it's like, you know, if you could tell like childhood me that this is what I get to do, like, I'd be flipping. So there's certainly moments too, you know, like where I'm flying out to LA a lot for the Cowgirls. I'm just like, yeah, I couldn't have imagined this, and just thankful to be going on this journey and seeing what happens, you know. And definitely thankful for like, yeah, those oh shit moments of like, yeah, somehow I got here and we're gonna keep on going.
Right on. And here's kind of a fun question, and I just like to get people's takes on it. So obviously where we are in this current age in music, social media, the TikToks, everything is very important, I would say, to like help get people's like music out there, whether it's, you know, people lip syncing to them, doing skits, doing anything. Like, it's very important to get it out there. And one, do you like it? Because a lot of people don't like doing it. Like, they have to put these TikToks out and all that stuff. And two, was that kind of hard to adjust to? Like, was that kind of like a challenge to really stay on top of that? Or do you have people that do it for you? Like, how's your operation with that going?
Yeah, it's well, for the operation, it's all DIY, and I'm learning a lot in the process. It really depends on the thing, and it depends on what type of content, you know. If it's like doing a music video where I'm performing, I'm like, I'm stoked because I'm just having a fun time playing, and I get to wear a sick outfit, and you know, and it's like, cool, splice that into some reels, and we have content for a while. And same deal with the photos. When it's like more specific, I can't say I'm the most tech savvy or the speediest with the term content, but we're working on it. But yeah, it's definitely, it's become part of an essential, and it's really become something like I have to think on of like, how can I like view this in a way that it's not like a, oh, I have to do content or I have to make TikToks. It's, how can I kind of share a behind the scenes or share something I've been listening to, or almost like another way to like connect with others, as opposed to like kind of that older mindset of like, we need the mystique and like you only appear in like these pro photo shoots. Like, I try to keep my socials as like as authentic as possible of like, there's sometimes I'm in the stage outfits and then there's other times I'm in the airport. So I try to keep it very transparent. But I'm definitely still learning as I go with all of the content in social media for promotion. I feel like it's constantly changing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there's one word that describes, to me at least, your music, it is authentic. So that was a great way to wrap that up. And Bella, I can't wait to see what you got coming down the road. Like it was nuts. It was a lot of fun being able to catch up on what I missed and being like, wow, she's done this and that and this and that. It's crazy. So I guess before we head out, can you tell us anything about what you got coming up, whether it's like new music, shows? What do you got coming up?
Yeah, definitely a lot of new music in the works. I'm stoked. I mean, next week on the 20th, playing LA with Minute Cowgirls at Desert Five Spot. And then for the rest of the year, really just writing and recording a lot of new solo stuff in the works, a lot of instrumentals, and some really cool collaborations on the way too that I'm stoked about.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. I'm sure everyone else can't wait either. And where can people find you also, by the way, like websites, socials, everything?
Yeah, my website is bellaperron.net, and then my Facebook is Bella Perron Music. I believe TikTok's at Bella Perron, and then Instagram is like bella.perron. So, yeah, I believe that's all of them.
All right. Yeah. You guys make sure to follow Bella. Also, check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything. Just Google us. We'll pop up. So, Bella, like I said, thank you for hopping on. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's great chatting with you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next time. My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?